What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala, your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
How's the week going, man?
Still reeling from Taylor Swift week.
Basically. Oh, you're still feeling it?
I mean, the whole Singapore feeling, this collective, I think we talked about it, collective, what do you call it, withdrawal symptoms. Right? You know, and even off the back of that, like a lot of debates about, you know, women versus men and stuff like that. Like.
Mm.
As like in our comments, like you mentioned, people calling us out for discriminating against Taylor Swift because of her sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because of her sexuality.
Oh, sorry, her gender. Yeah, yeah. Her gender.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, bro. Whoa.
Inviting another what slew the hell? Of comments.
That's right. That'll be like Pofma by her fans, yeah, know, and the Swiftie Pofma.
Correct.
Yeah.
Violence, a Swiftie violence.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, us as two middle aged men passing comments on a woman.
Yeah.
That was also got a lot of flack on TikTok.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't know whether we'll ever do that again, you know, talk about gender issues.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we will. I'm kind of like overlooking over my shoulder when I go out in public now. Later I get
for like some sheer shimmery kind of like
shimmery egg or something being pelted at us. Yeah.
But I think I'm done with the Taylor Swift thing already. I moved. I don't feel anything already.
Of course, you are a middle-aged man who has no feelings
like,
for this.
When we record on Monday, I was like, oh, you know, it was nice. It was weird. Now I feel we are back to like pre-Taylor lah.
Okay. Back to normal programming.
Yeah, normal programming.
Life goes on. Yeah.
So I'm still seeing a lot of articles talking about the ripple effects. And I mean, the latest one...
Indonesia wants to work with Singapore or something like that.
They want to work with Singapore?
To have like host big events.
Oh, is it?
Something like that. Yeah.
I saw people in Malaysia complaining why Deep Purple, another band, is performing only in Singapore.
Yeah, correct.
So... No, like interesting.
So sad. After the Taylor Swift blues, now the Deep Purple.
There was one annoying Wall Street Journal article talking about how Singapore is trying to shake off its brand as like a boring state by becoming a hub for cultural pop concerts.
Correct.
Yeah, which, I mean, to a certain extent, there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
But it just felt like the label of Singapore being boring, you know, always irks me.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
It does,
I mean, the perception that, oh, Singapore is just a fine city, it's boring. No, I mean, okay, there's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's also the other side of stuff.
I guess it's where it comes from.
Probably.
Given
that
it's the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
It means like probably a foreign correspondent or something writing it.
Yeah.
Unless they got like someone like Shibani or something to say it's boring. But if you're living here, I don't think you would say necessarily that's boring. Yeah, you don't have access to certain things, but... It's not boring by any measure. There's a lot of things to do.
You can't go on like a 3-hour hike just by driving out 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
2 hours you can.
You could just go around the island.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just a little chip on my shoulder.
I see.
Yeah. But apart from that,
Shake it off. Just shake it off. As Taylor says.
Shake it off.
Yeah.
It's post-Tay-Tay.
Post-Tay-Tay. But the effects are still rippling through our society. We talk about gender discrimination, which is actually the thing that we're talking about.
We learn a lot of lessons from talking about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're diving headfirst into another topic that concerns gender equality.
Yes.
But before we do that, anything you want to plug, Terrence?
If you're new to this podcast, welcome. And please, if you like what you are listening to or watching, please follow, share, subscribe. Yeah, subscribe and share with at least one person, tell them the goodness of this podcast.
Yeah, and if you want to work with us, if you want to see other stuff we have done, if you want to find out anything to do with us, you can now check out ministryoffunny.com. And you can also sign up for updates. It's not going to be like a weekly newsletter. It's just whenever we have cool shit to tell you about, we might send an email. So you can find all that and more at ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So let's jump head first into this.
Yeah.
These two middle-aged men to talk, who are the best position to talk about
best
this issue.
Position to talk about women's equality.
Yeah. So what is this issue?
It is International Women's Month.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there was a day last
there was
Friday.
A day, yeah.
But generally, this whole month has become seen as International Women's Month.
Yeah. And I mean, just saying we know with two guys talking about this.
Correct.
So, I mean, if you have comments, we have our Reddit, we have our social media. Mm. But why we wanted to talk about it was because there was one article that came out off a survey done by the Ipsos, which is the Institute of Policy Studies. what else does it stand for?
Of Singapore, is it?
Of Singapore, yes. That kind of reveal, I mean, some headliner statements that came out. Apparently 57% of Singaporean men think women's equality has gone so far as to discriminate against men.
Yep.
And also, a majority of Singaporeans believe the country has done enough for gender gender equality. I believe it's about 62%.
Yes.
So I mean that we will dive further into the stats. One thing I want to give a shout out to Ipsos for making the reports very easily readable, available.
Readable.
I don't know what word is that. Available and readable. Yeah. It became readable. I mean, it was very easy to find, which is great because sometimes we talk about reports and we can't find the fucking report. Yeah. But these reports are very easy to find. So I mean, before we dive into the stats, why do you want to talk about this?
Just one thing.
Yes.
Ipsos is not a Singapore.
Brand.
It's actually French or something.
Oh, IPS is a Singapore one.
Ipsos
stands
for Institut Public des Sondages d'Opinion Secteur. It's a multinational market research and consulting firm with its headquarters in France.
Oh, that is a... I got mixed up with IPS.
Yeah. Different.
Holy shit. Yep. And I mean, I have the reports in front of me because we are going to be talking about the global numbers as well. So my bad. Thanks, Terrence, for the clarification.
Yes.
But yes, what excited you about this topic to talk about?
I mean, just off the back of International Women's Day and, you know, us being accused of discriminating against Taylor Swift because of her gender.
But just by a very vocal minority.
Correct. More than a couple, right? Yeah. But I mean, it made me think about, are we really would it have been different if it was, say, The Weeknd or Bruno Mars or something who was doing 6 concerts here and people are going nuts? Would we have been nitpicking about, they're not drinking teh tarik and stuff like that? And then obviously, you were... waxing lyrical about Coldplay and we were just fawning over Ed Sheeran, drinking, making teh tarik and all that. Was it, I looked into our hearts, was it really because...
You looked into my heart also, is it?
I think so. So collectively, I judge you, basically. And I mean, time for introspection, International Women's Month. I mean, this coming out kind of probably reinforces what this vocal minority is saying. Singapore men, generally have this attitude towards female empowerment. The moment that they start rising up a bit, we want to beat them down.
Beat them down.
So
I mean, just to give some context about the survey that was done, it was done over 31 countries. It was conducted in between December 2023 and January 5th. So very fresh. And there were 24,269 adults aged between 18 and older across all the countries. For Singapore, they didn't clarify why there are different age groups, but for Singapore, it was for ages 21 to 74.
Yep.
And in Singapore, 500 adults aged 21 to 74 were interviewed. So everything we say, there are numbers specific to Singapore and there are also global numbers.
Correct.
So some of the things that stood out, just now I mentioned that 57% of Singaporean men think women's equality has gone so far as to discriminate against men. In comparison, 39% of Singapore women feel the same. So overall, that makes up about 48%. So almost half of Singapore think that this women's equality has gone so far as to discriminate against men. 58% of Singaporeans think men are expected to do too much. And so 68% by men, 47% by women, on average 58%. And 48% of Singaporeans said they were scared to speak up. So it was 45% of men and 51% for women. And 57% of Singaporeans believe women will not achieve equality in their lifetime. And broken down is 52% of men and 62% of women. So, I mean, I just threw out a bunch of stats there. But what were some things that stuck out to you from this survey or surprised you?
I think exactly what was in the headline, that more than half of the people surveyed, we're talking about 500 Singaporeans, right?
Yeah.
More than half of the Singaporean men in that group surveyed, believing that promotion of women's equality is discriminating against men. Right. That kind of tells you that there is, an undercurrent that maybe men either feeling that we're doing too much to help the women, you know, in the workplace or whatever, or you know, maybe there's a difference in what is being done to help men and women in the workplace, lah. And of that, because we're talking about stats as well, literally MOM also revealed results of a study that shows that there is still a gender pay gap between men and women, lah, although it is narrowing in the last 5 years. But the headline from Straits Times is that Singapore men, women earn 14.3% less than men. I think, and I believe, even after you adjust for, you know, different jobs and everything, the number is still 6%. You know, it is narrowing from 6.7% 5 years ago to 6%. But what it's telling you is that a man and a woman, same job, same role, same industry, you know, factoring in, like, okay, we take away the jobs where, you know, predominantly it's like men and then like fewer women, blah, blah. You balance everything out. Generally, women still earn 6% less than men for equally qualified for the same role and everything.
And I think the stats show that even though men coming out of NS earn less than women statistically by like by age 30 or something, they overtake.
Yeah,
right.
Catch up, yeah.
So they probably account for that as well. And I mean, there was another thing also that caused some discussion about a new program by OCBC, which it's an SME program, so small to medium enterprise, to support women entrepreneurs in financing and networking. And one big thing is that they offer loans that are interest-free as long as the SME is founded by a woman. So that caused some discussion, like, isn't that the definition of discrimination and all? So yeah, there's a lot of these discussions going on. But you know, okay, so like let's say the survey question, right? How the survey questions were phrased was like, okay, there's a list of statements. For each, please indicate whether you strongly disagree, somewhat agree, or some strongly agree. So when it comes to like that question specifically, which was, let me see, men, we have gone so far in promoting women's equality that we are discriminating against men. How would you answer that?
I think it's, I mean, if you were filling out a survey and you had to give an answer, like, right?
Yeah.
My answer would be disagree.
Yeah.
Somewhat, like. What about you?
Same, disagree.
Okay.
I wouldn't say strongly disagree.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, just based on personal experience and all, thankfully, I haven't felt it.
Yeah.
But I know that's just my experience. So on my own experience, I would say I disagree.
Yeah.
Which I guess for you also.
Yeah. But I think that the question is a bit of a trap as well, like, right? I feel like it's a very nuanced topic, and there are a lot of specific things about the Singapore, structurally in Singapore, lah, right, that maybe engender this kind of feeling amongst men, lah. To just agree or disagree with this statement, you don't look into the nuances of the answers as well, lah. I think the big elephant in the room that you will find, you know, people debating online and everything is about NS, lah, right? You know, National Service. And there's been a lot of debates recently also about NS salary or NS allowances and why they have to be kept low and stuff like that. Lah,
and
right?
Then what was the term? It is a
duty. Allowance,
no, it's a duty.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's NS is a duty.
To whom do you serve or something?
Yeah.
For whom do you serve?
Yeah.
It's a question, lah, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think when you talk about NS, I find a bit like when I say it's a trap, about this, the way this survey question is asked, lah, right? It almost pits men against women, you know? Like in some way, like it's saying that men believe that women, you know, are being helped too much and everything. So it almost pits them in this like binary thing, lah, right? You know, if you come up with a scheme or something, does it support men or support women, lah, right?
Yeah.
But I think when I say that Singapore has some structural, unique structural points that make this a bit of a more complex discussion is the bigger question, like, has all the grievances and all the problems that NS men or that people say about NS, have those been adequately addressed, right? Has this gender pay gap been addressed more aggressively in recent times, right? And what I'm guessing, just off the top of my head, is that a lot of those people who are responding that they agree with that statement actually have the sentiment that we have not structurally addressed the problems with NS versus structurally trying to address the problems with the gender pay gap and stuff. And that's where the perception that, more is being done for women and less and not enough is being done for the men, right? As opposed to it saying that women should not have all these things to help them, right? That's where I see it. The big thing that this survey does not capture the nuance of. Do you see that as well?
No, I mean, I didn't see it that way until you brought it up now. And I mean, because just thinking, like, there has been a lot of discussion and emphasis and steps taken to, how you say, reduce gender inequality in Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, even like the paper on women's empowerment that I think even Minister Shan was like championing. And there's been a lot of talk about that. I don't think it's reached a level where it's gotten too extreme. But when I compare like what you said, what has been done about NS, I mean, the most recent thing is increasing the pay, which was shot down, right?
I think they increased the allowance, but they refused to peg it to a salary, right?
Yeah. And basically, the phrasing of it, is an allowance because it's your duty and all.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I don't know what other changes in NS there has been.
I mean,
maybe more emphasis on safety.
Yeah, and over the years, they've shortened it slightly and all that, But I guess, it's just that perception that how come maybe for a man entering the workforce is how come there's all these things positive affirmative action-ish kind of actions being done for women, like the OCBC loan you saw, right? By virtue of being a woman, you immediately you start a business, you get this facility fee waived. Is it interest free or is it, I think it's just some fees being waived. I don't necessarily think it's like all no interest and all that, right?
So let me find out. It is they're a bit shy on the news. Carry on talking, I'll find the details.
So my point is there's you read about and hear about these things where basically it's like by virtue of being a woman, you're already entitled to certain, perks like this, right? Whereas on the guy's side, there's no equivalent. Like if you're a guy setting up this SME or what, of course you can get other kinds of grants and all that if you're young and things like that. But there's already this OCBC thing, for example, already very clearly delineates men versus women, right? Women get disadvantage, men don't get disadvantage. But when it comes to, an obligation, a duty, almost like almost a little bit of a, for if anyone thinks about it in that sense, a liability like NS, right? Men have to do it. Women don't have to do it, So it's just a very clear, there's this very clear line already, that when it comes to this disadvantage, like for some reason we just say, oh, men, you just suck it up and do it. But when it comes to disadvantage, we say, oh, yeah, only the women can get it. Men don't get it, based on things, global trends that are happening around the world and all that, right? So, I mean, I don't fault OCBC for doing that, because I think there are real statistics that show that there is a gender pay gap and women in the workforce.
And entrepreneurs, less women entrepreneurs.
Encourage more women to join the workforce or to continue working and innovating, even when they have families and they have to start taking care of children and everything. And same thing, I think there are certain, having more support for parents, young parents and things like that, whether you're man or woman, I think actually that's also equally important. But I'm just saying that it's very easy for a guy who feels that he's got disadvantaged by National Service to look at all these, big hoo-ha announcements by OCBC and all that and see that, hey, how come so much is being done for them and we refuse to address all this discussion about NS and all that, which is for most men, you're entering your prime, right? You're entering your prime years and then when you enter the workforce, you realize, oh shit, I'm already lagging a little bit behind by a couple of years, right? So I can see where this sentiment is coming from, and it's not necessarily because men in Singapore are inherently sexist, right? as the Taylors, as the Swifties would like
people. I mean, they definitely are. Like, it's not a sweeping statement.
Yeah.
Right. And just to pull up that one stat, I think there was another report that said that women CEOs in Singapore are down to 12.5%, which was 1.1 percentage points lower than the previous year. So, I mean, women leadership, women entrepreneurs, it is like a minority. Yeah. I mean, even if you look at politicians, right?
Yep.
The women leaders are still a minority.
Correct.
So, going back to what you said, I think, if that is your starting point, I can understand why people might feel that, okay, there's a lot more progress on gender equality for certain things, but NS is like this thing we never touch. But then, I think it's one of those things that, not to say comparing to other countries, because I mean, the closest country to us that has conscription is probably South Korea, right?
Yeah.
And South
Taiwan
Korea.
Also. Taiwan.
Taiwan also. Yeah. And I don't know what the situation is in Taiwan, but I know South Korea, there are like huge feminist movements that have come out. And I think South Korea being traditionally more patriarchal, right? There's also all that tension there.
Yeah.
So in Singapore, I think if the starting point is like, I can understand the sentiment. I think, I mean, we'll never know whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even the question is like, there's another question also whether there's been enough has been done. Which I also felt like enough is so subjective.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing to worry about is like the trends. Because looking at the stats from the year before and this year, feels like, just to look at the stat of, say, discriminating against men, comparatively, discriminating. Okay, maybe that question is not in the previous year's report.
Okay.
But I think the percentage of whether enough has been done, it's 62% across both years.
Yeah.
I think the percentage of men feeling that has gone up slightly over the year. Mm-hmm. And I think those sort of trends are the more important things to start keeping track of. Because if they boil over, I mean, a lot of these sentiments, they might not be rational, they might be irrational, but if it boils over to the point that people feel they're being wrong, right?
Yeah.
That's when it can brew some sentiment that could burst out. Right.
Yeah.
And because the whole NS thing, for the longest time, it was men do NS, women bear children. Right.
Yeah.
Because I think, at our age, we all have friends or even partners who have gone through pregnancy and it really takes a toll on their career. Right.
It does.
But it's never been an accepted thing that NS and pregnancy are equal. Right.
Mm.
Right. And that's like a debate that's been fucking so long already, right?
Imagine we had a dollar for every time that comes up, every dinner party or what that comes up.
And I remember even when we were going through NS, it was a debate back then. It's still a debate.
Yeah.
So for this kind of thing, I mean, like the gender pay gap, it's still a problem, right?
Mm.
That one I think universally is a problem. And I think as much as every country is different, we don't know what the situation is for other countries. Yeah, Singapore, the unique thing is we have conscription.
Yeah.
But other countries, I don't know what other entrenched gender norms or inequalities they have. Right. So that's why this one, I mean, when you look at the numbers, does it strike you as something, oh shit, we need to worry about, or is it even surprising, or why do you think it stirred up so much in people?
I think primarily that law, because a lot of Singaporean men do feel that the NS is not, the improvements or at least the discussions around NS seem to, perception hasn't changed much. Even with aware, counterintuitively aware coming forward and saying that women should serve some form of national service or so. I think there's a statistic from 2013 that 22% of I think women in Singapore think of people think that women should serve NS. 22% of women think that women should serve NS. But out of that 22%, less than half of them actually would want to serve it themselves.
Oh, is it?
Something like that. Yeah. So the statistic itself just and this is 10 years ago. Maybe it has changed since then. But the general, I think you see a lot of angry references, people who reference this statistic or their online, they're using words like, it's quite hypocritical, right? To, you know, to say that you understand the importance of national service and everything, and that everyone should serve, but then I don't want to serve, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, we can fact check about those numbers and all, but generally, I think it was about, just to be exact. Among women respondents, 22% agree with the statement that women should serve full-time NS, but only 9.3% said they will do so themselves. It's 2013. So yeah, you just say anything like that, you think of any statistics and of the people who agree that it should happen, less than half of them say that they would do it themselves. Is that not in my backyard? Not in my backyard.
Oh, yeah, la, yeah, la, yeah, la, yeah, la. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this study needs to be updated and all. But I think it just makes people feel like, before we address those issues of gender gap, or that maybe one of the things we need to address is structurally how we think about, a young man in Singapore sacrificing or serving 2 years of his time, you know, with just nothing but an allowance, right? And then after that, coming in, out and you know, living up to certain expectations about being a man as well, right? In an Asian country and all that as well. That's why maybe it's a bit more nuanced, though, this whole discussion.
And I think, just to make it clear also, we're not disagreeing that, the pay gap should be closed, right? We're not disagreeing that certain actions need to be done to empower more women in the workplace and all. But I think, what you said, this sort of survey, which is very high level, there needs to be more nuance or further studies done. Because, for example, one thing that I remember reading was about, the preference for a male or female boss, right? And basically, certain things that were reported was the gender, so the Mothership article and some other articles. Gender of the ideal boss, 36% of Singaporeans said they preferred a man, while only 10% said they preferred a woman. And across the board, 51% maintained a neutral stance. So when I read a report like that, I was like, that's an interesting stat. But another article that went one level deeper, fact, this was the Ipsos report itself. Wait, let me pull it up. Shit, I lost my stat.
You're saying from the Ipsos report, right?
Yeah, I had something. Going back to the stat, or what I said, if I read an article that just says, 36% of Singaporeans say they prefer a man, 10% prefer a woman, 51% say they're neutral, it paints one picture.
Yeah.
But the study also looked at the whether or not the people had worked under a male boss and how that affected their preferences.
Yeah.
So, 2/3 of people who have experienced working under a male and female boss have no preference. Those who have experienced only working under a male boss are more likely to choose a male boss. 46% said that. And those working with a female boss are more likely to choose a female boss. 59% responded that.
Yeah.
So, why I think that is important is because if you just look at the high-level stat about their preferences towards the gender of a boss, without understanding the context of whether they worked under a boss of that gender, it's two very different things.
Yeah.
So same way, when a stat like this comes out, I mean, you read 57% of men feel that promotion of women's equality is discriminating them.
Yeah.
I can imagine women being like, what the fuck? How can you feel like this?
Yeah.
But I think, Not to just trivialize the emotions of these people, just to understand the context. Similarly to that preference or the gender of the boss, it's important to go one level deeper to understand why. Otherwise, this will just become very controversial.
Yeah. And it'll be a man versus woman thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When it doesn't have to be. I've already been, based on of this article, I already had a couple of
run-ins,
heated debates about it already. And I try to explain that, I feel for women in the workplace, especially working moms, especially my wife and everyone. I feel a lot for mothers and all.
It's good that you put that context, because you saying I feel for working moms in the workplace, someone just took that out. what the fuck is this guy talking? But your wife.
And there is the pay gap and a lot of glass ceiling and everything that we talk about, like, and I have seen it happen and things like that. So, but you know, I think in Singapore's context, the people who are answering this survey might be answering based on their own interpretation of what's happening to them, right? Like the men basically using this survey as an outlet to complain about issues that affect them more, like national service and things like that. As opposed to outright saying that, I see women as, women are being too advantaged in our society and all that. It's just basically, it's basically saying that, authorities only have that much time out to give attention to one matter, and they feel that they're giving it more to women now, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe they're not addressing what men are facing and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, similar to the movements we've seen for the followers of Andrew Tate, any kind of more, the incel movement and all.
Yep, yep.
Like, of course, I'm not defending them by any stance, but the people who gravitate towards that, I would imagine, are disadvantaged or like facing issues in their own life. With race.
Yeah.
Right, you can argue a lot more is being done for affirmative action for minorities, but there will be people from the majority that are still like getting screwed by the system. Doesn't mean that their claims should fall on deaf ears, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, I think it's important that gender equality remains at the forefront, that a lot be done. But when I read an article titled like this, I'm like, this is the thing to focus on, la.
Yeah.
I don't know whether female listeners listening in are like just losing their shit, la.
I mean, what I would say is, like, as in, related to our revelation of what Ipsos actually stands for, la.
Yeah.
Is that this, I guess, a survey like this is meant to help compare between countries things, la, right?
And, yeah.
Kind of an expectation for them to dig deep into nuances of each country and each culture. That's of course difficult, right?
Mm.
But maybe it's a good starting point for whether it's the Ministry of Manpower or all these MSF, all these agencies, to understand why Singaporeans differ from the global norms when it comes to certain perceptions like this. Because at the end of the day, it does, these kind of surveys actually also influence things like whether people want to move to Singapore, whether they want to invest in Singapore and have the headquarters here and things like that, because they think about, what's the quality of life here, and will I be discriminated against if I'm a woman and I move to Singapore and work in a corporate role or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these things are important to address, right? Mm. And I think now the Singapore agencies, they see this data and these headlines, they need to step up and put up some numbers to also talk about it.
Because if anyone has the time also, I think just looking at the report, because it's not like, there's a lot of studies and all, but there's just some charts which are interesting. For example, one stat, right? I realized that apparently globally, right? The younger generations where, and this is global, not just Singapore, where you would imagine they're more progressive about gender roles and all, apparently Gen Zs and millennials are more likely to think that a man who stays at home to look after his children is less of a man. And when it comes to giving women equal rights with men, things have gone far enough than older generations. Which blew my mind. I would imagine the younger generation where, they're at the forefront of, everything that's meant to be progressive and woke.
Yeah.
There is that sentiment, lah. If you bring that question down to Singapore, a man who stays at home to look after his children is less of a man.
Yeah.
What percent of Singapore do you think somewhat agrees or strongly agrees out of that 500?
I'm just guessing because I don't know. 40%?
27%.
27%. Oh,
yeah, 27%. Okay. But across the countries, it is like in the upper third. South Korea is like 74%.
Wow. So Singapore not bad. Quite
Singapore, but you go to Japan, is like 10%.
Yeah.
Argentina, 11%. Canada, 11%.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing to take away from this is comparing to other countries. I'm curious to hear what people feel about this, especially from our female listeners.
Correct.
Yeah, whether they are like fucking like flipped out at this title. Because even that one stat, that was 57%.
Yeah.
But when you break it down by gender, 39% of women feel that. Right, which is more than 1/3.
Correct.
Which is quite high also.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You try lah. The next dinner party you go to, you be that guy that rants about national service and all that lah. And see how many women's eyes roll back to the back of the head when another guy talking about NS again.
Let's say you got 10 guys at dinner, you say, okay, about 6 of us here think it's gone too far. Who put up your hand? Which are the six?
Own up.
I am one of the four. Yeah. I do not believe.
Just agree or disagree.
Oh, that'll be a fun dinner parties, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You bring up NS and football, yeah. See how many eyes roll to the back of the head.
Why football?
Wasn't it Farah when she was on the podcast and then she was here with Xenia? And then you were just raving about some Manchester United thing.
And then they both just glossed over.
Yeah, and then she just turned to Xenia and was like, oh, guys, you know, when they start talking about NS and football.
But it goes both ways, right? Right.
What do women talk about? They make your eyes glaze over. Watch your words. Yeah. You better be careful.
But there are things that like women or like my wife does where I'm like, okay lah, you know, like when we went traveling, you know, going to, when we went to Korea, going to all those like, like makeup, you know, olive and green or something like that. It's like, yeah, I mean, they have different, I mean, she has different preferences from me. But you adapt lah. But I think that whole thing about, oh, guys talk only about soccer. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that?
And then women need to go and get makeup so that they can go to workplace and
look presentable and level for up men,
and lean in into the workplace. Why? What's wrong with that?
No, but there has to be something that women talk about that men go like, that it is like a stereotype that maybe there's some truth there.
Yeah.
What do they talk about?
I mean, you know, like female issues, like body.
But that one because it's female issue, but like sport is like any gender could be, but that's cues towards men.
True. Maybe you talk about women's football the next time you want to bring it up. You got to be an advocate for women's sports if anything. then they got nothing to say.
If they gloss over them,
don't support yourself. I can't do anything.
Wading into dangerous waters, man.
That's why I say, this discussion can be quite a trap. Right?
Can be quite a trap.
But yeah, you know, we've been staring at all these numbers and statistics and all that. And I stare until my eyes going blurred. But there are some people who have been like eagle-eyed in staring at a certain photo and have spotted, big things in this photo and that have caused a controversy around the world, right?
Yeah.
And what is this issue?
So it is a photo that was uploaded by Kate Middleton, who is the Princess of Wales, on Mother's Day, where she was sitting with her three children. And the photo, I guess, was taken by William?
Yeah.
Or supposedly taken by William, where it was posted, but then people started noticing some visual discrepancies. And then the photo was retracted.
Yeah.
And then there was a kill, what's the thing? What was the kill thing? Kill notice by the Associated Press, which is essentially an instruction to withdraw all uses of that photo and articles. And then it kickstarted a bunch of conspiracy theories because I think she's been in and out of treatment as well. And then finally she posted on Twitter saying that, you know, I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone's celebrating a very happy Mother's Day. And then she also said that, I like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But since then, right, there's been so much being written let me read some of the more controversial headlines. It is the Kate Middleton photo scandal is a rare and consequential flub. Kate Middleton's photo controversy is pretty damning, says UK PR. Expert exclusive. How a doctored photo of the Princess of Wales triggered a media crisis. What the hell is going on? Have you been following or were you following it?
This photo was the one that I think people have been talking about Kate's whereabouts and wanting an update since she was last seen on Christmas already. And I think the important thing to remember is these. The royal family, maybe not, we are not the target market or whatever. But for a lot of people, they actually follow you know, the
religiously,
quite religiously, you know, the comings and goings of the people in the royal family and all that, right? And even what's his name, like when Prince William was here for the Earthshot Prize and everything. Remember that there was all these people came out of woodwork, right? Mm. The supporters of the royal family and all that as well. So there's a very big group of people who actually just follow these people as almost like paparazzi, or they treat them like, you know, big celebrities and everything. So they monitor and they see that Kate has not had a public appearance since December 25th. And then like a couple of weeks later, January 17th, they announced that she underwent a planned abdominal surgery. And she will not have any public engagements until after Easter, which is like March. So I feel like there's there have been a lot of surprising, you know, announcements. Like people asking, was that abdominal surgery really planned? You know, it was so sudden, and she seems to be out for such a long period. And you don't see, so they're asking for people, there are all these people who are swarming and asking for updates. And they release a photo that turns out, you know, that was quite shoddily edited, you know, and all. I think it just triggers like more conspiracy theories and people in a frenzy. And even Piers Morgan had a bit about it. I could only watch half of it before. I was like, why do we even fucking care about this thing? Like, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why there's a bit of, even the whole phenomenon of this blowing up is quite interesting.
But when you say shoddily doctored, honestly, when you look at a photo, could you spot the monstrosities? Just at first glance.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't strike me as any different from a lot of the portrait mode photos that people take on the iPhones and all that, right? Yeah. Some blurriness here and there.
Yeah.
And it's not as egregious as an AI photo where there are six fingers, someone's hands has six fingers or anything like that.
Because if you look at the reports that really, the photo's not anywhere online, but of course the BBC.com will have the original photo compared with like zoom-ins on the parts that people have pointed out as being like a discrepancy. And wow, it is really requires some eagle eye analysis. You know, mm-hmm. One is like a slight, like one of the daughter's knee, it's slightly blurry around one edge. And then for the pavement in the background, there's like a misaligned line. Then some, I'm looking at the zoom in, I can't even tell what's wrong.
Yeah.
So then I was thinking, why does it matter so much? And I mean, the only thing I could find, which kind of makes sense, is that, you know, the monarchy and the royal family, that it almost like, the moment a photo is doctored, it just puts in the minds of people that, like, other photos are doctored, something's being hidden and all that. And I can understand that, but it is reaching a frenzy to the point where, the number of conspiracies about her even being alive is like swirling.
And
it blows my mind. And they're saying that, you know, it shows the royal PR team is out of its depth. Maybe that's the world of the royals.
Her tweet where she apologized has, as of now, like 30, almost 35 million views. Just a tweet apologizing for your bad Photoshop.
Fuck, man.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think like one point that when I was watching Piers Morgan, they made was that why then if, you know, she's apologizing for the confusion that the photograph caused and all that, why can't they just then post the actual unedited photo?
And they say they won't, right?
Yeah, they haven't done anything and then all that. Yeah. So to me, it's like, now that we're all sort of like interested parties somewhat already, you know, I'm just curious why the PR team doesn't swiftly quell these rumors by just posting a photo. Maybe it's not as nice a photo, because I think one pretty exceptional thing about the photo is that everyone is like looking at the camera, right? All the children especially.
Oh, you say they check, they correct the pupils' direction?
No, but just in general, anyone with kids or pets or anything, you know how hard it is to like really to get them to look at the camera all at the same time and all be having the best expressions and everything. I guess it's just maybe she had to change the direction of someone's face or something like that, which can be quite done quite simply on you know, on apps and Photoshop. And like any parent, you just want to present the best version of your children to the world, especially your children. You know, when it's your children, you know, you don't want people to say mean things about them, all that. So maybe you take the extra step to go and edit here, edit there. But maybe what she didn't realize is that people scrutinize that photo.
Insane scrutinize, man. And maybe it's also because, like what you say, like she's been under the microscope more often, or like people were waiting for an update. But question is, Terrence, you think if it was Prince William who was in that photo, do you think it would be that big an issue?
That people would be scrutinizing it like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he suddenly disappeared from the public eye, I think inevitably there will be some conspiracy theories, right?
Mm. But I mean, just looking at this, it feels like, I guess this is what annoys me about the royals. Like, it's all this kind of thing. Does it matter?
I mean, if you enjoy that drama and you watch like The Crown and everything, these things, you know, they'll make it into the later seasons of The Crown and all that, right?
Is The Crown still going on?
Is it done already?
I think at some point, I mean, it hasn't been approved by the monarchy, right?
Oh, no, obviously not. Obviously not. But even if it's done, there's no saying that they can't come back later with all the, you know, all the recent controversies they had in recent years with Prince Harry and everything, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is just another chapter in the royal family books, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
the photo.
I guess the one thing, it does seem like a noob mistake, given that one of the royal family, you know that people are watching everything you do, right?
Yeah.
So to post a picture that is edited in a world where, you know, there's so much fear of AI and edited photos in general, even though I've seen some people say that everybody does it, so why does it matter if Kate Middleton is doing it?
Yeah.
In some way, you know, like everything about the royal, the monarch is like, you know, how you say, they are almost above, they're not normal humans. Like next level. You know, they're better than us almost.
Yeah, royal blood.
Yeah, royal blood, right? Mm. So can you imagine her on an app like Snapseed or something, or just like VSCO or something, just editing it? So it just feels like, it's a taint, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
It's a taint.
But yeah, you know, I mean, if she's still recovering surgery, hopefully this doesn't get in the way of that, right? The stress from this Photoshop error.
Yeah. But I mean, like anyone, just go look at the photo. It's just for people to figure that out, it's insane, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy, yeah. But I guess that's the world we live in, man.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, we also, even in our, what we do in Yalabat, right? We tell people to check your sources, you know, to scrutinize what you see and all that. And this is people doing that exactly. So why do you say it's insane in that aspect?
I guess there are probably people out there at the newspapers in the UK who follow every move by the royals because they know that it would cause like people to clickbait, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that's their job, they're doing their job.
Yeah, doing the job exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listening to us are like, what the fuck these two people talking about all this? It's our job.
It's
our job.
Yeah, we come to the line, we look over the edge and we see how far the plunge is down there. We say, we'll still do it. We'll still talk about gender discrimination on this podcast, even though it might get us cancelled, you know? That's the danger that we put ourselves in every single day.
Okay, Terrence, stop drinking so much Kool-Aid. There's a bit of Kool-Aid.
We risk violence from Swifties as well in order to get the point across.
Step out of my house, yeah. It's a dangerous world.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, but speaking of, people who listen to this podcast and scrutinize things a bit more, what is your one shot comment?
My one shot comment was something that was posted on our Yalabat Reddit by a long time Redditor and commenter Bud Den Ho. Basically, it was a screenshot of a Instagram post from Joe Biden.
Yeah,
that quotes him saying, "No one should be jailed just for using or possessing marijuana."
Yeah.
And I mean, there are 134 comments, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, man, it's a healthy debate, you know, so, I mean, even people sharing their experiences with talking to a Grab driver who was in the anti-narcotics force for over 30 years and, asking if he believed in the death penalty of smuggling. He said yes, very firmly. He's seen how drug use completely destroyed families and users. So yeah, so I was like, oh shit, this is exactly why we love our subreddit, man.
Mm, mm.
And of course, got haters on the post.
Yeah.
And just saying that, yeah, why do we even need to respond?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. I also just reading it from the sidelines as well, right?
Mm, mm, mm.
I think maybe whoever Ben Hall in posting it, like, also maybe didn't imagine that it would cause so much debate and all.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
But
correct.
The debate is sometimes going on between people, not even with her specifically.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Right? Arguing with each other and shitting on each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, keep doing that. Lah.
Yeah.
My one short comment is something that was just posted on our latest YouTube upload. Lah. My natural oil tachycoma. Newish viewer here, following your podcast regularly for the past 3 or 4 months. Well, welcome. Thank you for following for the past 3 or 4 months. Mm. I finally cannot tahan and must speak out. Harish's view seems to be slightly blur or fuzzy in a soft porn kind of way. Can you check your camera interface to your software?
Terrence, this is something I believe I pointed out to you as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So?
No, so I would say that we run a very tight ship, small operation. We use cameras of different models, different makes from different eras. And some cameras can handle the HD footage better than the others, right? Compressions, codecs and stuff. Could get very technical. But generally, we all our videos are shot in high definition and all that, right?
Mm.
So, but more recent cameras do handle this high definition footage better. So there is a bit more clarity on the image. It's not as muddy. And remember, we are shooting in a very dark room as well. We're shooting in a room where we have to bump up ISO quite a bit. So stuff gets grainy as well. So yeah, for everyone who thinks that, yeah, we just use iPhone, put there and then just shoot like that, right? There's a lot more complexity to it as well. And shooting with iPhone is a very different experience from shooting with
one of these cameras. But you never answered his question.
Oh, so yeah, the fuzziness or soft porn kind of way is like, I guess the question is to ask you, how many of my pores or my nose, you know, that you want to see, like the detail. If anything, I've been trying to like, make my camera angle a bit less sharp already. Lah. In fact, too sharp also is no point. Too sharp, you end up getting scrutinized like Kate Middleton like that. Lah. So there is a general, I think the bigger critique here is the inconsistency between the sharpness of the cameras. Lah, right?
Yeah, lah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just found this funny because for some reason, they thought of the reference of fuzzy in a soft porn kind of way. Yeah. And I'm thinking about the mosaic when people's features are mosaic in soft porn, right?
I don't think it's that. I think it's just like the soft porn, like the kind of low resolution. I don't think it's a mosaic.
Low resolution?
Yeah.
Oh, like, no, they're not talking about mosaic, the Japanese porn kind of mosaic.
I don't think so. No, but you still haven't answered this question about why mine is softer.
Because the camera is pointed that,
and that camera, like, yeah, like, the resolution is not as good.
Yeah, yeah, it's not as. It's
oh,
not
yeah,
as
then be direct. Like, no, it's government not as, about it.
It's not as clinically sharp, I would say.
Ah, okay.
You see, I think we're just coming off the Oscars and everything, like, yeah. Right? Just a camera being sharp doesn't necessarily make it a better tool for storytelling.
Okay, so anyone listening, right? This is what happened. I raised this thing to Terrence the last time, and then he gives me all the philosophy of tech, and I'm like, okay, Terrence, just do you. I trust you, okay, and all that. Yeah, because I feel the condescension comes whenever I ask about these kind of issues.
No, it's not condescension.
It's like I don't understand.
Like, if you want the sharpest thing, I would say, yeah, let's use iPhone to shoot, lah. But it comes with its own trade-offs. Like stuff won't look as real, like, you know, portrait mode and everything. And so it's kind of like what kind of image you want to build. For me, it was like, we're going to, you know, there's a nice cozy environment. Let's make it cinematic, but still feel cozy and everything. Like.
Mm.
So actually, less sharpness actually feels better. And so I've been trying to unsharpen every image so as well, right?
Mm.
Yeah. But you know, there's, cause sometimes these kind of comments come in that I feel like need to be addressed because you will end up having this vocal minority say anything, then you straight away think. Whereas like everyone who's just enjoying, oh, you know, like the Harish's image isn't as like I don't see as much pock marks as you see on Terrence's face and all that. You don't think about that.
But maybe they want to see the marks on my face.
Yeah, then we'll do a survey. Like, how much of your blackheads people want to see, like, right? You know? Because I think it's a very marked difference. Like, yeah, the sharpness in HD. mm-hmm. between Sony's current generation of cameras and the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I could do a whole lecture about this.
I know. Yeah,
you could. Yeah.
He really could. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's your one short comment.
Yeah, because he talked about your face soft, in a soft porn kind of way.
But yeah, then what is your one short thing?
My one short thing is actually you put yours first. I need to put mine up. Yeah.
So mine was a feature that the Straits Times did.
Mm.
One of those kind of visual features on the Senoko Fishery Port. Because I only found out that it is set to close by end of March after 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone there is going to move to Singapore's only other fishery port in Jurong.
Yeah.
And basically, it's one of those microsites they do that kind of has pictures. And a write-up also. And it's been there for 26 years. And the thriving community there is actually quite interesting. And why it has special place in my heart is because we filmed the video there once.
Yes.
One of our most viral videos where we went around the world, but it was actually all just around Singapore. And we went to Senoko Fishery and I never knew it existed. We were there at like 3 a.m. and it was bustling, man.
Mm.
And yeah, it's going to close. But you read the article. I mean, they have pictures of the fishermen coming in and unloading all their hauls. And then the rush in the morning, and then after that, they have coffee and breakfast, and they go up to the offices on the second floor, tally up the sales numbers.
Mm.
Quite interesting, the whole community.
Mm.
A lot of nice pictures, and it's one of those things that there's a part of Singapore history, man, that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
That's going to be gone.
Yeah. I remember it's really quite an experience going there. After that, your shoes also smell fishy for a while, right?
Yeah, correct.
And that's not something you experience anywhere else.
But yeah, that was my one short thing. What about you, man?
Cool. My one short thing is actually from the world tennis.
Mm.
Just recently at the Indian Wells competition in the US, world number one Novak Djokovic lost to world ranked 123 Luca Nardi, a 20-year-old boy, I mean, aside from the fact that it signals maybe there really is a change of guard happening, because I don't even know, but Nadal pulled out of Indian Wells.
Mm.
And now Djokovic, world number one, has lost to 123 young kid. There might be a real changing of guard happening in front of us, and we might be seeing the tail end of both these legends' careers, right?
Mm.
But an interesting thing is how Djokovic reacted to the defeat, at the end of the match, he was very upset about something that the young player did during the game where Novak Djokovic served, and then I think the young player thought the ball was out, so he didn't really he stopped for a little bit, but he still hit back the ball, But after that, the play carried on. Djokovic won the point, but he got angry with the umpire and with the other player. That he stopped playing already, and so he assumed that the point was over. Djokovic assumed the point was over, and he was arguing with the umpire about this. So it's that kind of thing. If the referee doesn't blow the whistle, means that the game still carries on, right? Mm. And I think in most sports that's the case. You don't determine when the referee blows whistle or what. So Djokovic was making a lot of noise about it. Then after that, when he actually lost the match, they go to the net to shake hands. And Djokovic basically just said to him no, it's not right, but bravo. No, it's not right, but bravo. And very begrudgingly in that way, was shaking his hand and then, saying, I mean, you're supposed to congratulate each other, right? Mm. Or congratulate the winner, but he didn't. So the whole internet has been pouncing on him, saying he's a sore loser and everything, and bringing out examples of the past of why he's so different from Federer and Nadal, right? Those guys really, when they lost quite graciously, generally. But Djokovic, in his history, he's had moments like this, when he complains about things and becomes really whiny about it. And to add to the story, this Luca Nardi actually idolizes Djokovic as well. So he, to beat his idol, in such shock fashion, has just adds so much to the whole story.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So yeah, we're at the tail end of those
but he's still number one.
Number one, but he lost the Australian Open and Yeah, then he got defeated by world number 123.
He's what, 37, right, or something?
Who? 36. Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be a different year.
Different year, man.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. But yeah. Cool, man.
Cool.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please do share it with at least one other person.
And if you want to talk to us or work with us or just find out what we do, check out ministryoffunny.com.
Hell yeah. You can leave us a message and we'll get it in our inbox.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.